Well, the advice I can give is it's not a vagina. Go slow. If you've only been banging a vagina for 20 years and then you approach the asshole like a vagina, you're gonna have a problem.
You ain't gonna be able to. The grip, it's a different grip. It's a different grip on that motherfucker. But if you try to put on some sexy strokes, you tapping out on that booty hole quick. That's all I'm gonna tell you. The grip is different, man.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. Let's go. It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. Let's go.
Yo, 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 what's up, dope? It's your boy, Danny Brown, up in this motherfucker. I got the Booth Boys with me.
Yo, what up, man?
How y'all motherfuckers doing?
Great.
Chilling.
Today, we got motherfucking Ryan Eilert up in this motherfucker. How you doing, dog?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for coming through, man. It's motherfucking great, man. You just recently moved out here.
Yeah, I moved here about a month ago-ish. Yeah, I came here with just no place, and I was like, I'll figure it out when I get there.
So how you liking it out here?
I like it. It's good. If I had like two of my New York friends here, like my childhood friends, I'd be like, this place is perfect.
Yeah,
that's all it's missing.
I swear, that's the only thing I is missed with me. Because I used to come out here all the time, like, you know, just periodically, like, you know, every few months or whatever. And even doing music and shit, like, you know, like on tour and whatever. But every time I came out here, I always just got into some crazy shit. Like, for some reason, like, it's like some, like, me in Austin, like, it's like almost like a, I don't know, a lot of people don't have places they can go to and be like, I feel like I'm home the first time I've ever been there. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's certain places that I can go around this world and be like, and you be like, man, you've never thought about living there, but when you're there, you're like, I don't know, man, I could live here. And every time I used to come to Austin, I always had that vibe, man. So for me to be living here right now, it's almost like, fuck, is it like God's plan?
Right. I felt that way about Amsterdam. When I first time I went to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam?
First time I went there, it was the only place I was ever sad to leave.
I've been to Amsterdam quite a lot and actually spent a, you know, because, you know, when you were like touring and shit, and I would say like you go places and you got to like do a show, you probably there like, if you're lucky, you're there for 2 days, like maybe have a day off and be there. But it been times where I would like go to Europe and I would have shows that maybe like weeks apart kind of shit. And it'd be like, it would be dumb to go back home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Amsterdam was always like this hub for me, like the middle. Like, I can just go to Amsterdam and just stay in Amsterdam. And, you know, because of the weed, obviously the weed.
Yeah.
But even the thing is about the weed in Amsterdam is not like nothing to write home to mom about.
Yeah, I mean, when I went, it was like 15 years ago. So I thought it was. Like, I was like, this shit is pretty good. Especially because it's like you could switch it up. You could do hash. You could do this.
Yeah.
I like that. I like mixing all this stuff. But also what I was shocked by is like when I went there, I was in probably like one of my heaviest drinking phases in my life. And I went there for a week or 2 weeks and I didn't have one drink because you start smoking the second you wake up. And then by like 9 o'clock at night, I'm like, I don't want to start drinking right
sleeping,
now. Like
sleeping, taking naps and shit.
Yeah. I'm just like,
eating.
I'm fucking
all
you're doing wake
is
up.
Eating and sleeping. Like, I hate those trips where you go and like, I used to feel like that about California. Like when I used to go to Los Angeles and shit, because, you know, I mean, as a person that really love weed and shit, you want to get the best. Like, you want to go, you want to try the illest shit, you know? So I would like go to LA and, you know, coming from Detroit, you know, just that 3 hour time difference, the first day that would fuck me up anyway.
Right.
You know, just going there almost like, cause you know, you by 9 PM you sleepy. That's usually like midnight for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're
like,
oh fuck, you know? So I used to go, and then if you smoking a fire, you out there smoking that crazy ass shit and you passing out. I remember one time when I was working on my, I was working on a Tracity exhibition. I was, that's Be Real was on that album. And so, you know, Cypress Hill, you know what they know. But I was getting my weed from him. I was getting my weed from they people. And they had this shit. I mean, now it's like, that's the thing about this weed shit, man. Like, they put it out now. It's almost fucked up. It's almost like, I guess what heroin was and shit back in the day, where you can just put a name on something, and the name, you're like, oh, I got these blue tops, or like blue magic, like back in some Frank Lucas or whatever the fuck. But then you can just put a name on some shit. But the name of this, like I said, it's called Jet Fuel. And I was heavy into Adderall at the time. You know, you take an Adderall and you be up all night. You know what I'm saying? Type shit. But for some reason, I take an Adderall and I'm smoking this weed. It's killing Adderall. Like, I'm literally, like, I'm taking Adderall, trying to stay up, mix the album and shit, and literally smoking this weed and just fucking passing out. So, yeah.
My boy used to sell weed, and he would have, like, a pound, and he'd be like, yo, watch this. And we'd go to one spot, and he'd be like, yeah, how much you want? And they'd be like, oh, you know, 50 or 100 or this or whatever. And he'd be like, all right, now watch this. And we'd go to the next spot, and he would just make it up. He'd be like, yo, he's like, I got the Red Roosters. And
yeah,
he'd make up some
saying.
Shit.
That's
they'd be like,
all right,
I'll
now.
Take 200. Like, they always wanted more if he gave it some fucking name. So he would just name whatever he wanted.
I think that's what it is. They put it in the beginning phases of it. It's almost like, I say this about, like, certain, like, fast food places. Like, you remember a time, like, you can get, like, they drop an item or something, you'd be like, oh, this bitch fire as fuck. And then once shit get cracking, it just changed a little bit. You're like, it ain't the same no more. Uh-huh. Like, I remember back in the day, like, I could just give you one example. The motherfucking, if you go to KFC, they got them little mini chicken sandwiches, the chicken littles.
Yeah.
I lived across the street from a KFC. Everybody know that. I got hit by a car at the fucking KFC, fucking lost my teeth and all that shit. But KFC used to have chicken littles. Yeah, the chicken little sandwiches. And back in the day, I mean, you know, as a kid, I think it was like 99 cents. You know what I'm saying? You'll go get a chicken little, you know, that was something to get. You know what I'm saying? As a kid, easy little quick snack. But these chicken littles ain't them chicken littles. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about like some late 80s, early 90s shit. But I'm just saying, is it the growth of the processed chickens that they selling us now? Like, cause I just remember, man, as a kid, like eating that fucking, eating those chicken littles. These are not these chicken littles. But I say that to say, like, even with the weed. So they'll put a weed out, like, Jet Fuel, like I say, with Be Real, I can give you an even better example was Burner with the cookies. Like, the beginning phases of cookies and the beginning phases, like, that shit is knocking you on your ass. You can't. This is like damn near weed that's unsmokable. You're like, man, I don't even want to smoke this shit. Like, I got to plan my day around smoking weed. Like, I'm fucking grown as hell. That's not like some shit I should be doing.
Yeah.
And planning my day around weed. Like, come on, man. But I say that to say now, once they get the name out, once the name is cracking, now if you go buy some Jet Fuel, you go buy, it ain't the, it's like a, it ain't the pack hitting like that.
There's still certain strands where I go, I'm like, is someone smoking diesel? Like diesel.
Yeah, diesel, but I think a lot of certain weeds are like regional too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
see,
yeah.
You New York, you a New York motherfucker, man.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
that is. Like, with diesel, like, you know, I remember being in Lower East Side or some shit like that, and you just smell the diesel in that air. You're like, oh, shit.
If you had a 20 bag on you in like an elevator, by the time you go
reeking.
Three floors
reeking.
And people are like, this guy must be selling pounds of weed. And you're like, no, I just have a 20 in my pocket because that shit smells.
Buying weed in New York was always bizarre to me, man.
Why?
I remember just being like going back, like way back in the day, like when it's like, yeah, like early 2000s or whatever the fuck. Before cell phones and all that kind of shit like that, you know, like before it was real grimy. And just going to buy weed and you were like going like some weird corner in like fucking Crown Heights, Brooklyn or some shit. And be like, and it was almost like doing like some James Bond shit. A nigga be like, man, throw the money over there.
Yeah.
The weed is over there in the payphone. You got to go click the slot in the payphone where the coins come out at just to get a nickel bag. I'm like, nigga, it's only a nickel bag. I guess because I was coming from Detroit where we had like, you know, it's a lot of like faking houses and like just like a lot of like just I don't know, man. It's just more lawless kind of. Where New York, like just having a police that walked the beat on your block, like even that was bizarre to me.
Well, you know what the problem is too is like nobody has cars, so that everybody's always figuring out other ways to do shit. Like, what's the best way to do? Where like somebody else, if they're meeting you in the street somewhere else, they're not used to that. Where in New York, it's like you're not used to being in a car. Where like. You're in a
that
car, you're like, oh, this is fucking weird.
It.
Like,
yeah,
you're uncomfortable. But like, we used to, there was a Starbucks on like 87th Street, and the guy that we used to meet, you'd give him a pound, you'd be like, oh, here, give him whatever money you were giving him, and then he would be talking to you this, and he would like see how much you were giving him, and then he would go, he'd be like, all right, get behind me in line in Starbucks for the bathroom, and then he would go in the bathroom, put the shit there, and then you'd go in behind him, you grab it, and you walk out.
Man, New York, man.
Yeah.
For real, man, it's next level, man. I remember buying weed, man. Even that, like, that's the only time I ever, like, they'll figure a way out. Like, they used to have this, I mean, you know, they used to call back in the day, they used to call the, cause you know, they used to call the regular weed Aries. Because, you know, it came from Arizona. So it'd be like, you want the Aerie, which is normal green. This was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I never heard that.
Yeah, you want the Aerie, which is normal green, which is actually what I used to fuck with. I used to, I mean, you know.
Schwag.
This is the days of Reggie's.
Yeah.
But then you can also go to the Jamaicans, and they would have some weed called Blacks. Like, only real old school New Yorkers that know what I'm talking about. You in Brooklyn, you go get the Blacks. And the Blacks was pretty much the Aries. But they was doing something to it. Like, they cooking this shit. They was, like, really whipping crack with weed, man.
Yeah,
I don't know
like
what
poudre?
These niggas was doing. They was turning Reggie's to Zaza's. That's what they was doing. Because what they was getting, like, if they was putting brown sugar on it or something, man. You would be tasting it like, smack on your lips and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And, so we'll go, I mean, we'll you want $40, you'll get $40. And you'll go get you 20 of the Aerie and 20 of the Blacks. You get what I'm saying? We gotta go find some random fucking project roof to go on. Freezing cold, your motherfucking North, you and your shit bundled up. You smoking weed, you can't really smoke weed in the cold air breathe. You know what I'm saying? You're on top of a fucking 50-story fucking project building. Police might run up in this bitch any given fucking time and go to jail. And niggas was still risking that shit, man, just to smoke weed. And I say that to say, right now, if you go to New York, it's fucking amazing now that you can just smoke weed whatever the fuck you
yeah.
want. Like, I can't, like, just, I was there not too long ago. I had a show at Rolling Loud. And the show at Rolling Loud was cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was doing podcasts and shit. But just my actual, just being back in New York, because I ain't been in New York since COVID and all that shit.
Yeah.
But New York, to me, like, my management there, like, I don't know. New York, to me, I always say when I lived in Detroit, it was like going to the east side of Detroit because I lived where I lived. But every time I left, I was going to New York. And yeah. It didn't take nothing to me. It was going to the airport, get on a flight for an hour and a half, 2 hours or something. I'm in New York.
I just did a month in New York, and the smoking weed thing is crazy. Like, when I got there, I didn't believe it until I walked into a store, and the guy was just like, it happened to be a kid I went to school with, too. Like, I was like, oh, like, I wasn't really trying to, because I didn't, it was my first time, so I was like, can you really do this? Because it wasn't like out in the open. And I was like, you have trees? And the kid looked at me, he was like, Rob? And I was like, kind of, it was a kid I went to school with. I was like, yo, it's good, like that. And he's like, yo, starts just pulling out all different kinds of bags. He's like, we got this. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, tell me what you think is the best. Like, it's just, it's such a,
it's a mind
such a different vibe.
Because of, I'm saying, because of all the shit we used to go through just to smoke weed in New York. Like, you literally used to fucking risk your life. For real, man. Like,
yeah.
Bro, you don't want to end up in
crazy.
Rikers yeah. Island. Rikers Island. That's all, man. That's the scariest place in the world to me, man. That's one place, dog. I'm not supposed to be here.
The sketchiest shit. Like, smoking on the street, I didn't used to be worried about, but when it would get really cold, we would smoke in a vestibule. So, like, when you walk up to a brownstone or a building, that first door is always usually, you can open it if you're, like, the mailman, so you could get in there and shit. And then the next one is the one that's locked. So we would open the first door and go in there and then just smoke in there. But yeah, I hated that. My boys were like, yo, come on, let's go inside. I'd be like, let's just smoke outside. And they're like, no, it's too cold. But I hated that shit. Like, I'd rather be on somebody's
yes,
roof.
See, the thing is with me is smoking weed is all about relaxation.
Yeah.
So if you can't do it in a relaxing manner, it's almost like you shouldn't even be doing it.
Yeah.
But at that point, you know, a motherfucker, if you smoke weed every day and that's just like, that's your drug of choice and that's what you do, I mean, it's almost like your body depend on it in some sense. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm a little better with it now because I'm just getting older and the weed is getting stronger. So I can't really, for real, for real, man. Like, I used to smoke fucking big ass backwoods, like, I smoke like an ounce a day, maybe two sometimes. Now I can't even fucking get through a joint.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe my lungs giving up. Maybe, I don't know. I always think about it, like, man, you know, I'm getting too old to smoke weed. I'm going to quit. And then you know what it always go back to? That's why I hate this fucking rap shit. It's fucking, then people say rap music is not influential enough. I'm like, Snoop still smoke? He look like he still, Snoop still maintaining, man. He still smoking, man. But it is Snoop Dogg. He's a 101 character. You can't fucking base that shit on him, man. But I'd still look at, but no, I know I don't love weed the way I used to. So I say that, you smoke weed and shit?
So the only thing I'll still do occasionally is smoke weed, but it's rare. It's
you
rare.
You're on your sober shit, man, right?
Yeah, I haven't, my birthday will be 10 years since I've fucking been drunk and shit, but it's like,
it's so
you know
hard.
What, you know what I noticed with people too, the, because I think this is what happened to me. The like, I still, I think weed is great, but I don't love it the way I used to, because I think I used to only smoke blunts. And I think when you smoke blunts, you're addicted to that tobacco.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're just so, like, you
definitely
live for that. Like, you can't go 20 minutes without being, like, you're checking how high you are. You're like, wait, am I, like, I'll look at something and be
maybe
like,
maybe that's a thing. I don't know that. Maybe I didn't even think about that. That's why when I smoked blunts, I would smoke so much weed, because I'm actually addicted to the tobacco part, too, even though I smoke cigarettes. Because that's what I'm trying to tell you. Now that I've been smoking joints, which has been years now, I only smoke joints. I don't finish a whole joint.
And when I used to take, if I used to take a bong rip, like, we never, again, like, you know, none of my friends ever had a place, so there was nowhere to keep a bong. But, like, once a year, you'd go to somebody's, you go to a party, this, and there's a bong there. I would smoke, and for an hour and a half, I would just be, like, chilling. Like, I didn't, where, when I would smoke a blunt, 20 minutes after a blunt, I'm like, okay, where is the next? But you're always just thinking about, like, how, because even if you're, like, you want to smoke one, there's at least 10 minutes until somebody breaks up the weed, somebody cracks it, somebody, like, nobody had grinders back then. Like, now shit is a little easier, but it was just,
and you gotta think back then, I mean, even like, I don't know, like my high school, it wasn't this weed we got now. It was pretty much all swag, like Reggie's and shit, you know what I'm saying? Weeds with seeds in it, pretty much. If we want to say any weed that's bad, if a weed got a lot of seeds in it, so that's pretty much what it was. And that shit was, niggas was dropping out of school off that shit.
So we had
so
both.
Imagine what this weed is doing to these kids, man.
And especially, like, we had both, because we had, so my, we could only get shitty weed, but then my friends who had older brothers, whether they would fucking steal it from their drawers or, like, find, you know, every now and then they would, like, bless them with something and be like, okay, like, I got enough for, like, one blunt of the, they'd be like, oh, the church or the this or the that. And we would smoke that, and it was like you were on another planet.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, definitely, it was around, I will say, yeah. Back in the day in Detroit, like our, what we would call like exotic Zaza's and all that shit, now, our weed was called Gan. It was just like this one string, like that's what we would have, Gan. You would go get it from, almost like back in the day when I used to go to New York, and that's when the Purple Haze was cracking.
Yeah.
You'll go to Harlem. Oh, my God.
Or Poudet. Poudet was the best. If they used to say, like you were saying, like they'd be like, oh, they spray this with the crack water.
Oh, yeah.
And
like
that's
that
why
shit,
the Poudet
like
was
that shit
the
was
best.
Purple. That shit was almost looked black.
Yeah.
And you'll go uptown and shit. And soon as you got off the train, got off the station, you just smelted in the air like.
You would have a dime and there would be like five different colors in a dime of weed. You know, it'd be like orange, purple, black, dark green, light green.
But that's what I was saying to say that. Like, we had the high grades and all that shit in Detroit and all that shit, but that shit was expensive as fuck. And you were, that shit was literally like selling crack type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go buy a fucking 20, it'll be like a 0.3.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's literally like a fucking, that shit don't even look like nothing. Like, how am I about to smoke this? But you was always supposed to mix it with the area or whatever the fuck. But I swear, man, you just go get that perp. And like you say, you ain't doing shit with your life after that. You just land.
Yeah.
You eat motherfuckers up, some motherfucking chicken wings and some pork fried rice. Like, New York living, man. I've been there, man. I know what's going on.
And you get a 20 of shitty weed. You could roll, like, five blunts. But it was, like, right after that first blunt, you're like, all right, when is the next? You're always just going to the next. Like, you know, with shit. But
you said that was the tobacco, though, when we think about it. Because I swear, if you do that with joints, we ain't going to be smoking that. Niggas going to be asleep. Niggas, I'm like, man, I'm straight, man. Like, I really feel like, and I used to talk shit. I remember when Wiz Khalifa first came out, he was talking shit about the papers and all that shit. Like, man, fuck that shit. That shit, like, cause my mama smoked joints. Like, I look at that as some old lady. Like, yeah. Oh, like, that's my grandparents and shit. My own nigga smoke joints. We young, we cool. We smoke blunts, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Big ass blunts. But no, I ain't the way to go, man.
you would always use backwards? Cause we would do
Yeah, I mean,
Phillies.
No, I'm from. What are you talking about? I've been smoking weed since like I want to say consistently 97.
That's I was just gonna say
so
the
I
same.
Smoking,
I was 12.
I've been through, yeah, so
that's
I done
crazy.
Been through Optimo. Wow. I've been through the Optimo phase, Philly Swishers, Dutch Masters,
yeah, vanilla
all
Dutchies.
That shit, man. I've been through all that shit, man. That's why I'm like, man, I should retire this shit, man. Like weed smoking weed, cause I mean. I don't even know. I'm trying to think, man. Do I really? Yeah, I be needing weed.
See, I use weed now. I use weed now. If I'm ever in pain, it's the fucking greatest. Like, if I hurt myself in the gym or some shit and I smoke, I literally sit there and I'm just like, I'm so grateful for this shit. Like, if I have a headache, if I have some shit. But also, like, I'll just go through phases. Like, I just went to my boy's wedding in Maine, and it was, like, on the beach. And then, and one night, everybody was just on the beach smoking weed, and I smoked it. And I was like, this is incredible. But then that Sunday, I was like, I'm just going to sit and watch football and smoke weed. And I was like, oh, I hate this. Like, I'm not fucking doing anything. Like, I'm just a fucking lump on the couch smoking weed for fucking 12 hours. I don't like it. So I stopped again. Like, I'll just go on and off where I'm like, oh, shit, I'm enjoying this right now. And then I go to, like, eh, I'm just not.
Now, I will say that is the reason why I do smoke weed all the time. Because we have heard all the health benefits that come with it. And, you know, as a black man, I just be trying to get ahead of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what weed cure. But if I get the shit, you know what I'm saying? I might as well just get ahead of it and just start smoking all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's that. Glaucoma. Cause even now, cause no, just fucking, I will say like Big Pharma and all that shit. Like, man, if it was one, like, you know, like selling drugs and shit, I know it's fucked up, but God damn it, it's fun. And I'm not trying to say go out there and do it, but it's something about it is fun. So I can see.
It's fun when you're young. Because you're never bored, you're never there. When I'm, now that I'm fucking older, I don't want any part of any.
I know, but now I'm going to the other level of like Big Pharma and how these niggas move. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the next level of fucking selling drugs.
I was so, like, addicted to Percocets at one point in my life. Ooh, that I watched. Oh, shit. My God.
The whole Detroit is.
I used to take 15 Percocets a day.
Oh, shit, you like fucking, God damn it, man.
There was a time, I've told this story before, but there was a time where, like,
well, you like Nicky Jams, man. That's what we call that, the Nicky Yams.
I would put a Percocet in like a water or a soda or whatever if I thought I was going somewhere and there might not be a chance for me to like pop one for any reason.
I don't know how people just do Percocets normally. I think because I've got like a perverted ass brain. So I just like try to use drugs to try to blame my fucking sexual horniness on anything. So anytime I take a perk, I'm horny as hell. I just be like, what's up? Like, ooh, ooh.
Oh, I went through a phase with every drug where like I was having fun with it. Like I was taking three perks a day and I was having a good time with like Xanax and smoking weed. And I'm like, oh, this is fun.
I would say I never really got too deep into the perks. I only did perks for like just having fun type shit. I never got deep into them like on some like dark drug shit though.
But
perks really work though. I was going through, man. I told these niggas, man, I was playing NBA 2K during the pandemic. And I just sat in the chair too long, man. Next thing I knew, I had sciatic nerve damage, man. Wasn't nothing else helping, man, but fucking perks. I was taking perks and shit, and that shit was holding me down, man. So I will say the perks do help for pain. I wasn't getting freaky then. I couldn't even do nothing off them motherfuckers, man. It was a wrap.
I would just take perks and sit on my couch for what would feel like a month and a half. Like, it would just, time would just fly. And then, like, the arm of my couch was like this, like, because I had an ashtray there and I would smoke and it just became hard from just like missing with ashes.
That's when it get dark. That's how it was with me with lean, man. I mean, I feel like, man, like going through those phases of like dark drugs and shit. Like, I mean, just when it get dark, like, cause you don't even know it's dark when you're going through it at that time.
Yeah.
It's cause I can think back on my time now. And there was one point in time, like, bro, I used to have like 1,000 Adderalls, 1,000 Xanax, lean, like just having, just like my whole house was like fucking just drugs everywhere, and to me I feel like I'm cool as hell. You get what I'm
saying? Yeah. You open a drawer and find 100 pills. You're like, oh, I didn't even remember I had that.
In my head is like, I got everything I need. If World War II happened right now,
yeah,
it's a party at my crib.
There was nothing worse than dealing with Percocet dealers for me. Like that was like. A push for me to stop, like, where I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Like, I get so heated, like, waiting for, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll be there in an hour, and then like an hour, I'll be there in four. But like, weed was one level where they'd be like, oh, I'll be there at noon, and then they show up at 6 p.m. and you're like, oh, whatever, forget about it. Where like I had Percocet dealers string me along for 3 days.
So it used to be like the withdrawals and shit.
I would get, yeah, it would
so
be.
I don't know what is like the withdrawals or like perks.
It's like you have the flu, basically, and sick and you feel like shit. But like for me, I don't want to, like, you know, talk about other people's experiences. But the Percocet withdrawals to me are a fucking joke compared to Xanax. Like, the Xanax withdrawals, holy shit. But I was taking Xanax every single day for 7 years.
I'm telling you, bro. Oh, well, see, that's what I'm
saying.
That was a long time.
But I wasn't taking a ton of it, where, like, Percocet, I was taking so much, whereas Xanax, I was taking, like, 3 milligrams a day, so, like, a bar and a half a day. But I was, anytime I wasn't drinking, I was taking Xanax, and I just got dependent on it however, I'd have to think about it, but see, however many years.
Yeah, see, for me, it was, I just had a friend. I just had a lot of, you know, just also some drug dealing shit, but a lot of people get scripts, and they would get shit, but if you get a script, and I don't know, you can't find nobody to sell it to, shit, hit Danny up. He'll buy that shit. And it was so motherfuckers would come to me with pills and all type of shit. It was a lot of shit I probably bought, and I ain't never took. I might take it once, like, I don't like that shit. You know what I'm saying? But I remember, like, one of the rarest Xanax you can get is the fucking, the green monsters. The green bars.
Oh, yeah, and yeah.
He had a shit ton of them bitches. Like, I want to say, like, at least, like, it was over 1,000 bars.
And they're split in three instead of four, right? The other ones are split in four.
So I cashed out. I got all these bars. And I'm not even tripping on them. My thing with Xanax, I used to take Xanax. I used to tour a lot. And when I used to go overseas, to me, it always make it feel like a blink. I can get on the plane, take a Xan.
Yeah.
You know, wake up. I'm in the country. I'm refreshed. I'm on A-time schedule. I can do my shows, this and that. Everything was great. Then I just started, you know, getting to the point of, but I, at that time, I still was drinking lean, you know, and once the lean, you know, once the lean got discontinued, the Xanax was the closest thing to lean. So we got on the Xans, and I remember, see, I had these drugs, but I ain't mean I was taking them. So now once I couldn't get lean no more, now I got all these Xanaxes, now I'm fucking with the Xanaxes. So I wouldn't, like, I didn't say we got that deep, but I would get to the point where I call it playing ping pong. Where I can take like two or three Xanax and I can just bounce off every wall in my house. And I wake up, it's just dents in every wall. I'm like, oh, I was drunk playing ping pong last night off the Xans and shit. But the reason why I stopped fucking with it because, and guaranteed, I mean, I probably gave away a lot of those pills, but guaranteed I probably took way more than I probably, you know what I'm saying? So whatever, but you know what fuck with your memory? And my whole shit is I got to do shows. I got to get up there and rap. And I would do these, like, going to Australia or something and taking a whole bunch of Xans and wake up, and then you got to do a show. Then I go do a show, and I can't remember one fucking lyric. Just on stage looking like a fucking crackhead. You get what I'm saying? Yeah.
I got to the point I couldn't leave my apartment without taking fucking Xanax. Xanax, to me, is the... Like, I would rather wake up addicted to Percocets or painkillers again 10 times than Xanax once. Like,
I say that to say I know a lot of people... have gone through, like, you know, the Xanax phase and all that shit. And, you know, they're like, that's the hardest shit. I didn't, when it was time for me to, like, quit, when I wanted to quit, it wasn't that hard. Like I said, I only made it up to, like, two or three bars.
Were you
like
taking them every day, though?
Yeah. I wasn't like a nigga that was taking, like, 7, 8 bars. Like, I had homies that was taking, like, 10 bars a day type shit. You know
what I mean? So, you just got off cold turkey?
Yeah.
Holy
shit. But, I mean,
I'd
be doing other shit, probably.
Right.
You know, that's all it was. Yes. See, that's the thing about me.
When I got off, I was getting sober.
That's the thing about me. Everybody always talk about how I quit shit and how I get off this. I just quit shit and start something else.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying? So it's not necessarily like, that's not helping. Oh, God damn it, man. We done got so far. Hold up. We're going to jump into some of these segments, man. Hold up, man. We're going to get to Ask Danny, man.
Ask Danny.
Y'all know y'all can hit me up at Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. 512-522-9256 for the voicemail. Hit me up. Don't send no texts. Hit your boy. Holla. 512-522-9256. Man, we're going to get some of these Ask Dannys, man. Yeah, man. You're going to have to be my sponsor. Help me with my sobriety, man. That's what's happening. Yeah. All right. Mushrooms on New York. That's what it said. Oh, I said New York. Mushrooms on New Year's. That's literally what just happened to me, though. When I was just in Detroit, shouts out my homeboy Juju. So, you know me. I was, you know, hanging with my friends, doing hood rat shit with my friends. Of course, we're going to have some drinks. I'm tipsy. I'm talking shit. One of my homies just tapped me. I held my hand out. He put something in it. It was mushrooms. I ate them. But it's one of those drunken, like, blackout faces. But I'm not even realizing what I'm doing. I'm just going with the motions, just hanging out, having a great time. All of a sudden, we're in a studio. We listening to music. I just started feeling funny. This is like hours. I forgot. I never even remember. I don't even know what he gave me. I wasn't even thinking this nigga could have gave me fucking crocodile. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I'm hanging out in the studio. They playing music. Next thing I know, I started seeing hieroglyphics and shit, man. I started seeing like what it looked like inside of microscopes when you're looking like cells and microorganisms and shit. Like I'm starting seeing shit like that just in my brain. I'm like, hold up, man. Shit ain't right. And then I'm just trying to figure it out. I lay down. I'm like, man, why am I, you know, I'm like, oh, who gave me something? They're like, oh, you ate the mushrooms. So yeah, never get dosed with mushrooms. And I was, and then, so the entire time I said, I hate the motherfucker who gave me the mushrooms. Where he didn't push them on me. He didn't fucking try to pressure me into taking them. He literally tapped me on my shoulder and did like this. I held my hand out, got them, and didn't even think twice and ate them. So I will say I still love mushrooms, but
so good.
It's good when you plan on taking them, though. Like, if you ain't had no intentions on doing that, and then you take mushrooms, you like, I was just so mad. It was just so much. And then I was going through a lot, just sad, depressed, like, being mean. So it just amplified my meanness at that point. You know, I was just back home, visiting with my family and shit. I ain't need to be feeling like that, man. But
anything at the end of the night is always a mistake.
Who you think you're talking to? The party never stops with me. That's the thing about me. I don't have a problem with doing anything. I have a problem with stopping.
I went to Vegas for 2 weeks, and I stayed for like a year and a half because I was like, I just couldn't stop partying. A year and I got my own place. I moved in. Everything.
Sounds amazing.
It was, it gets dark.
It sounds amazing. All right. Mushroom on New Year's. Yo, Danny. My homie trying to get me to take shrooms on New Year's, but I never had it, and I feel like I'm going to get traumatized and shit. I was thinking, I just pop a Xan and fuck with the Molly. Which one should I fuck with? Anyways, nigga, if you popping Xans or doing Molly, nigga, mushrooms ain't shit. That's one thing I'm going to tell you. You probably need to do the mushrooms. The thing is about mushrooms is that it's just levels for that mushroom shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you take a little bit, and as a Xan popping Molly motherfucker, knowing you, you might take these mushrooms and be like, man, this wasn't shit. You get what I'm saying? So I would say New Year's, though, if you're trying to have a good time, last thing you want to do is mushrooms.
Well, so, for the first time.
Yeah, that's what
I'm. You don't want to do something for the first time on New Year's.
Pop the Molly.
You don't want
New Year's, just pop the Molly.
The first
man.
Time you do something, there's rules you follow. You're only
with your
boys.
I don't even
know
why you want to do shrooms. I guess they want to bring in a new year enlightened.
You don't want to be around strangers if you're doing something for the first time. You don't want your fucking, you want to be able to turn your phone off. That's the most important shit. Like, when you're doing something for the first time, turn your fucking phone off, because something could switch everything up real fast.
Oh, yeah, I definitely grab the phone and do some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Call and cuss a motherfucker out you ain't talked to in years.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Yeah, I've done that shit before. I've done it. They don't even know. Don't even realize. You wake up the next day like, nigga, I called this nigga. And you'd be like, for 28 minutes? What we was talking about? All right.
Or you're like, dad? You know, you see like a phone call to dad for like 45 minutes. You're like, oh my God. You it's the worst.
It's the worst. It's the worst. It's the worst. Chick friend got a boyfriend. What does this mean? Hey, Danny, I need advice. I've been friends with this chick. I don't know. For some reason, man, I know I'd be saying some fucked up words on this show. I'd be calling motherfuckers. For some reason, calling a girl chick seems worse than calling a girl a bitch. I don't know why. For some reason, that's like some old school, like, grease hair to the back, white t-shirt, Fonz leather on. You know what I'm saying? What's up, chick? Like, where my chicks at? You get what I'm saying? Like, for some reason, that's like the most misogynistic shit to say, man. Call a bitch a chick? Like, man.
How dare you?
Yeah, like, disrespect, man. Like bitches call each other bitches. They don't call each other chicks. Like, where my chicks at? I shout out my chicks. You ever heard Cardi B bust bars and be like, man, me and my chicks in the club? No! Them bitches feel, bro, you call a bitch a chick, you ain't getting no, man, all right. This nigga listen to Rockabilly.
That might be what this is about, actually.
This nigga listen to Rockabilly, man. I've been friends with this chick for like 3 years, and she getting into it with this dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about her romantically, but I get annoyed when she doesn't have time for me anymore. What is going on, man? How do I not get jealous about shit like this? Love the show. Helps me get through long shifts at work, man. I was just watching this show on Netflix called Stalker.
Mm. One of the best trailers.
And I don't want to see you on the next episode. That's all I'm trying to tell you, man, because that's the vibes this shit is giving me, brother. I'm happy that you're a fan of the show, man. I want you to continue listening. I would never want to stop someone from listening to the show, so I'm trying to be as nice about this as possible. As a man that has a daughter, I mean, are you sure y'all friends? It's a lot of questions we got to ask. And yeah, man,
That's why I always feel like it's kind of it's kind of shaky waters. It's kind of, you know, being friends with girls. I'm not saying that I can't be friends with girls, but I mean, you kind of like them. That's the reason why y'all friends. Like, you know what I'm saying? I like my niggas. I hang out with my niggas. Like, the word like is, you know, go a long way. So just being even friends with, like, you kind of like, I like her as my friend. I'm not saying you're attracted to her and shit like that, but, you know, like you say, I don't think about her romantically, but you getting annoyed about what another nigga doing to the bitch. That's your friend. Like, you want to be protecting shit like that. So that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like, you know, that shit is kind of weird. Because to me, if I was the other nigga, you don't know what's going on with the bitch. You don't know what they got going on. Now you the nigga jumping in the mix, talking about you the type of nigga you hating. You don't even know you hating. No, you know you hating. See, that's the thing about this. You know you hating. I don't know, man. Don't go to jail, man. I'm going to tell you right now, man. You go to jail for a stalking case or doing anything to a female, man, you're not going to get treated with respect in there, man. They're going to do some crazy shit to you. I told you, man, they hit Bill Cosby with a hot dog bun. That's the funniest shit in my life. That's why every time, remember when he first got out and he hit that little dip move, like, ugh.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was PTSD from dodging hot dog buns, man.
So your advice to this guy is don't be a stalker.
He hit that little whip move. Yeah, niggas been throwing hot dog buns at this nigga for 6 months. Nigga don't want to go out like that. Fan from Brazil, man. I love Brazil, man. Sao Paulo, I told you I was supposed to go out there for COVID and all that shit happened, man. I was so excited to go out to that show, man. And shit didn't happen, man. Fuck! Fuck y'all niggas, all right. What's up, Dan? I've been watching all the episodes since day one. Been a fan since I heard Triple X for the first time. I'm from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Have you ever been to South America? Any stories about us third world people? Peace. No, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you, man. I'm trying to get out there, man. So, you know, hit me up, man. My booking. I shout out to the boy, Dark Parker. Hit him up. You know what I'm saying? I've been trying to come through Brazil, man. I've been watching, you know, man, what I'm about to say. You know what I'm about to say, man. I mean, it's a reason y'all got your own category. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? If I was from somewhere that just had, like, you can't go on Pornhub and just click Detroit. You know what I'm saying? I could click Brazil. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Brazil got their own category, man. A nigga told me, man, you go to Foot Locker. The bitch is bad in the Foot Locker. That's how black people talk to each other about vacations and shit. He's like, man, in a Foot Locker, the bitch is bad. Like, what? Damn, nigga. You just buying shoes, still looking, still sexualizing. You sexualizing the bitches in the Foot Locker? Nigga like, yes. For real. But yeah, man, I do. You ever been to South America?
No, but the first girl I ever dated was Brazilian. My first girlfriend for a year.
I love those Brazilian barbecue places where they shave the meat off. They walking past your table. They got the little cheese, the little breaded cheese ball situations.
There is something like you said. Like Brazilians are set apart from anything else because if a guy says like, oh, I'm dating a new girl, and you go, oh, yeah, and he goes, she's Brazilian. That's like that really is like saying nothing else. Like, what can you compare Brazilian to?
I don't know, man.
When you go, she's Brazilian, you're like, damn.
I mean, I got the worst nuts. Brazilian nuts, man. I don't know what them shits is, man. They hard to crack. You can't get them open. That's the one thing that I give them the one L for, man. Like, what's these Brazilian nuts, man? Why is they like when you get like Christmas time is coming up? We about to get our Christmas nut situation going on. You get all the nuts, walnuts, chestnuts, pecans. You get what I'm saying? The Brazilian nuts be the last one. Them motherfuckers be in there looking like dead bananas. Like, I don't know what the fuck the Brazilian nut got going on, man.
Right, when you have a bowl of mixed nuts, at the end, it's just Brazilian nuts.
If a nigga be like, man, I like Brazilian nuts. Like, man, nigga, you a murderer, man. Like, what, you know how hard it is to crack Brazilian nuts with the nut? You know that little nutcracker you get, man?
He probably calls girls chicks, too, if he likes Brazilian nuts. You gotta crack
that
bitch like,
man, that motherfucker look like a curled gorilla finger or something, man. You're like, why is this Brazilian nut so hard to open? Then you open it, it come out like a white coconutty substance situation. I'm telling you, the Brazilian nuts, the last one that be in the Christmas nuts. I'm not the only nigga that had Christmas nuts, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about over there.
You
man.
Get an
Christmas
assortment
nuts.
Of nuts
like
on
mixed
Christmas.
Nuts.
Yeah, mixed nuts. It'd be a basket of nuts, man, where you get the fucking, the walnuts, the chest. You gotta crack all them shits open. Christmas nuts. That sound like some...
That's a category.
That sound like, yeah, Christmas nuts, nigga. There they go. Yeah, right there. The Brazilian nuts is the worst one. See, the Brazilian nuts, the one that look like a testicle. Not the walnut, but the one, the shrivel. Like, no, no, God. Yeah, the Brazilian nuts, the worst. Yeah, you see it right there. That motherfucker look nasty. Look like a, yeah, look like an orange peel. Look like a burnt orange peel or some shit, man. You ain't never ate a Brazilian nut? Crack that bitch open.
Oh, me nah.
This nigga Ennie ain't had no holiday, ain't had no holiday nuts in the crib. I think that's some hood shit we got to do to be festive, man, because it's cheap to do, so you got to get that shit out the way with. Like, man, we getting Christmas nuts. Your mama doing everything but getting you the gift you want. She got Christmas nuts, stockings on all the motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? You got your Goodwill basket. You don't have the Goodfella basket and shit. She going to bake cookies for Santa Claus, all type of shit. And you got it. The worst shit, man, I ain't gonna, all right, it's getting dark. It's about to get dark. Because Christmas, man, for real, man, it's been time, man, like, I grew up in the crack era, man. Niggas wasn't getting gifts. I feel like now shit a little different. You know, motherfucking mamas and shit, Christmas is like a real deal of shit. Like, it was a time where, like, nigga, you be like, man, the toys I ain't want, I would have to re-gift to my little cousins because they ain't get gifts. Shit like that. That shit is fucked up. All right. Ain't no advice. Danny. Have loved your show since episode one. My question is, my girl is Latina and she down for the anal, but I never done it before. I want it. What is your best advice for making it happen, even though I never done it before? Well, I mean, you know, she got to get the enema. She got to clean that motherfucker out, man. You don't want no dookie. You don't want no dookie situation because you're going to be immature because you ain't never did it before. And you know, even me, I'm a deep sea diver. And every now and then, it's going to get muddy. The water's going to get muddy. But you got to be respectable about it. You got to understand the situation. But you got you a hot, spicy Latina that want it. I'm pretty sure she cleaning that booty hole out. It's nice and pristine.
Well, the advice I can give is it's not a vagina. Go slow. Not. If you've only been banging a vagina for 20 years and then you approach the asshole like a vagina, you're gonna have a problem.
You ain't gonna be able to. The grip, it's a different grip. It's a different grip on that motherfucker. You gonna have to pull. You can't do that. I mean, you can. See, you can cheat. If you try to pull the pound game down, that's how you can be able to, you know, you can hold out a little longer. But if you try to put on some sexy strokes, you tapping out on that booty hole quick. That's all I'm gonna tell you. The grip is different, man. All right, man, we're going too far. That's another one I'm gonna get in trouble for.
I was gonna say, who the fuck could you possibly get in trouble from? But
my girl always be like, man, you're talking some crazy shit. I'm like, man, that's what they live.
That's how you make a living.
That's what the people want.
What do you mean?
I mean, just thank God. I don't know. I got one of those kind of dumb brains where even if I want to censor myself, it don't happen. Because I always be like, man, I'm not going to say no crazy shit. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But yeah, shit still end up being that way. Come on, let's spin the motherfucking wheel one time.
I remember you. Do you still have Dogecoin on there? I remember you had Dogecoin on the wheel.
We just talked about it.
I wanted to hear what you were going to say. What'd you say about?
It was a rug pull, right?
Was it a rug pull?
Did it go to the moon?
It didn't go to the moon, but everything went down. So
they said it's 6 cents. Nah. Elon Musk talked about it on SNL. How is it at 6 cents? It should still be competing with everything else that's going on. That shit should be like Ethereum at this point.
But the fucking Netflix is down like 70%. All these things are down so big.
At this point, I told these motherfuckers, man, I fuck with crypto. Put me on first, man. I'm tired of this shit, man. Niggas ain't getting locked up. Where the next rug pull, man? Holla at your boy, man. Danny at the DannyBrownShow.com. You can also leave a voicemail 512-522-9256. Any crypto rug pull scams you need me to promote and sponsor? I'll at your boy.
The next bull market is ours. We're gonna come out on top.
See, that's fucked up. But see, I might be saving the people. That's how you gotta do it. I'm letting y'all know. Y'all ever see me say something about some crypto? It's a scam.
Oh, that's good. Let them know now.
Yeah, I think the people will still fuck with me though. It's going to the moon because it'll just be funny. I'm gonna make some rap songs for it, some NFTs. It's whatever, man.
You have any NFTs?
It's all a scam. Mm. You got some NFTs?
Oh, of course. But the Bitcoin is not a scam. I don't think Bitcoin is a scam. I think a lot of this shit is a scam. I don't think Bitcoin is a scam.
No, what it is, none of it is a scam, to be honest. It's just the government hating on it. And they doing what they can do to stop that shit.
Well, there's also people who are scamming the same way people will scam about anything. Like, they're just like, oh, they see a bunch of money you could make. Like, how am I going to do this? I'll tie somebody's name to it.
No,
like you said.
It makes sense, man. But too many niggas Bitcoin, got rich that don't deserve to be rich.
Yeah, I got Bitcoin in 2016. You when got it was high, it felt good.
Fat, nasty niggas that I never did nothing in their life that was just in their mama basement on a computer that just figured it out early enough. Now these niggas rich, doing crazy shit, talking to you crazy. You like, what the fuck you got going on? Nigga, I'm a crypto. Shut up, man. Any nigga that talked to me about crypto or Forex or anything in that, it already just go to one section in my brain. Like, what a next scam I'm at, damn, my nigga. Like, I don't take none of that shit serious.
See, that's how I felt in 2012. I was playing poker in 2012 in Vegas, and all these poker players, these internet kids are like, you got to get into Bitcoin. And it was like at a dollar, and I was like, I'm not listening to these fucking nerds. And now it's like, I could have a fucking 1,000 Bitcoin if I put $1,000 in.
No, don't get me wrong. I totally understand it. And I totally get it. And I totally feel like, you know, like just based on how, you know, at this point, we're in a digital age with internet and how we purchase shit and do shit like that. So it totally makes sense that it should be another form of currency.
Yeah.
But right now it's so early in the stages that niggas can still scam the shit. I'm just saying, I don't want to play the rules. If it's going, if it's some money to be made.
For sure. I watch.
I want in.
I think it's even harder to understand why people need Bitcoin so much when you're in America. Because anything, if we want a fucking bank account, we go open a fucking bank account. Where there's these people in these other countries where they can't even, they don't, like any money they have to keep under their fucking mattress. And then somebody will come kill them for that shit.
I know. That's the worst fucked up shit. All right, man, let's get into some white people shit.
White people shit.
Yo, Bitcoin. Danny. Yeah. No, man. Shit. Asians.
yeah, that's true.
Them niggas pedestal. All right. Yo, Danny, much love from New Zealand. My submission for white people shit is at a predominantly white school, they did a drip contest where the kids wore their drippiest outfits to the school as a fundraiser. Had kids explaining to 70-year-old teachers what the fuck drip meant. From way. Nah, man, to be honest, man, New Zealand, man, I will say, it's one of the coolest places I've ever visited. I really love it out there. I will say is I'm never scared of, even though, man, y'all got some crazy, like, some ill, big motherfucking, all right, y'all know what I'm talking about. But the animals, man, the fucking spiders, the bats, all that shit, man, I remember them. They said a lot of animals died. Was that in Australia or New Zealand? When the forest fire happened, a lot of animals died and shit?
I think that was Australia, right? Because there were koalas. Australia.
So, yeah, New Zealand, yeah, y'all still got the animals going crazy and shit. Nah, man, I think that's actually cool, man. One thing I would say about schools and shit, man, whatever y'all can do, like, far as activities and shit to make kids, you know, come together and, like, just be out of their element to not really feel like they going to school and have to do work and feel like it's a job and preparing them for the real world, just let them fucking escape and do something. That's the coolest shit you can do, man, no matter what it is, man. Because I say a lot of that shit, if it wasn't for, like, little programs and them little school shits like that, man, I wouldn't be a rapper. I wouldn't be who I am today. You know what I'm saying? So I will say it's one thing, because fuck school. I ain't, not, you know what I mean. But the actual fucking, like, you know, I don't know. What about you?
I think they gotta figure out a way not to give kids fucking 4 hours of homework a day. Because that was my problem. Like, listen, if you're in school, yeah, you should be fucking learning, doing your thing. This, once you're out of it, like, if I have a job, like, the reason I hate fucking acting is, like, you go and you act for 14, 16 hours, whatever, and then they're like, all right, now you can go home, we'll see you tomorrow, and you think, like, oh, I can go home and fucking chill and go to sleep and whatever. You're like, no, I gotta learn for 4 hours, I gotta learn these fucking lines for tomorrow, and that's the shit that I hate.
But so I'm saying, so for you, gotta think, fucking, so for you, going to school as a kid was totally different from every normal other kid, right?
Like,
you
didn't because Sopranos didn't really get out there till I was like 14 years old. So like up until 14 it was normal, and then like that everything fucking switched.
And then by the time when you're 14, that's when you really want the real school to be.
Well, I would show up at lunch and I would like fucking chill, smoke, and then I'd go back into school, and they were like, you're so disruptive.
Yeah,
like,
you're the cool. Yeah, you fucking up the year. Like, yeah, exactly.
So they were like, you just got, and then but a lot of time I'd be working, or like, you know, I'd work until 2 a.m. sometimes, and then like, you know, go home, and then at 7 o'clock, I'd be like, oh, you got to wake up for school. I'd be like, nah, I'm not going. So I pretty much stopped going to school like 8th grade, probably. Shit. But it was like the year before that, it was like I was just a regular kid who was trying to fucking,
And I feel like that's like 8th grade, that's when the girls and shit really, that's when it really started. So I don't know, I guess they probably saved you, huh?
Well, but the crazy thing was, is by the time I was 16, like I was getting into New York City nightclubs, and the level
they
of
made you grow
women
up
that came out of fucking nowhere was insane. And like, you know, even if it was one girl a week who was like gorgeous, who was willing to hook up with me, it was like, yo, this is crazy. Like I was just in school 2 years ago where like no girls wanted to hook up with me, and I was fat. I lost a bunch of weight, was on TV, and then I started going to nightclubs, and it was like a fucking
overnight.
Train.
Overnight.
Like, it was just like a train that was out of control, and it got crazy.
That's
man.
A complete mind fuck too, as a kid. That so you had to mature quick.
Yeah, I mean, I was always mature in certain ways, but in that way with like girls and that shit, because I was fat and like
I don't think
see,
no one could handle that though. I don't care if you was fucking. The fucking Tarzan kid.
What's like, crazy is like when you're in LA, it's different because everybody kisses your ass when you're like a kid star and this shit. We're like in New York,
yeah, I know.
People are like,
trust
get the fuck
me.
Out of my way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people don't, like, there are people when you're in certain scenarios where like, they're like, oh my God, yeah, I love the show. But also people are like, I don't give a fuck who you, like people in my neighborhood are like, I don't give a fuck who you are.
That's
like,
how Detroit kind of is too. But New York, one thing I will say is like, if you ain't shit in New York, it is what it is. But once you crack in, it's like a whole nother world just opens up. Like, oh my God. Like, yeah, man. I really love New York, man.
The girl who played my sister on Sopranos, Jamie, it was her birthday at like the best nightclub in New York City. And I go to her birthday, and the guy said to me, hey, anytime you want to come back, just let me know. And I was like, oh shit, I'll come back tomorrow.
Tap
like,
in.
And I brought like six of my boys who were like, you know, fucking 16, 17 years old, all smoking weed, just the word, like, insane. And I remember walking up to the door the next night, and he, like, looked at me and looked at them, and he was like, yeah, go in. Like, let all fucking six, seven of us in. He looked at me, he goes, don't ever do this again. And I was like, okay. So then I just started going out with one of my boys or whatever. Like,
you're going, like, yeah. Because I, it used to be like that kind of with me when I was young. I wouldn't say, no, I was probably about 16, 17. And my, I used to hang out with, like, you know, everybody was older than me, like, drug dealing shit type shit. And they'll go to nightclubs and shit, and, you know, they'll be able to get me in and shit, like, pay like $100 to get me in type shit. And I was fucking, I looked like a fucking baby. And I would always get kicked out the club because I always try to buy a drink. And every time I would try to buy a drink, the bartenders would notice me, and it would just be this whole commotion. And it is like, you would think after the first time that happened, I would fucking, you know, wouldn't do that anymore. But no, every time they took me to the club, I would try to buy a drink and get kicked out. Because I didn't feel like, I don't know, I just felt like, I don't know, I just felt lame just being there. I wanted to feel grown, like, I don't know, feel like an adult, like everybody drinking.
You have
like
to
21
drink.
Up clubs and shit, like, yeah. But the thing is about Detroit, the fucked up part is, like, when you had to go, we had, like, a lot of after-hour spots.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That was, like, crazy. It'd be, like, motorcycle gang lock-ins type shits, like, and it was just, so you ain't really have to go. Like, being a teenager, if all you had is fucking $10, $20 to get in, you can go somewhere every weekend and see the craziest shit you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
All right. A coach is white people shit. What is this? Hey, Danny. My wife and I are practicing occultism paranormal investigators.
What?
I'm curious what your beliefs are when it comes to alien spirits and things of the magical persuasion. And just how white is it to be into this shit? Much love from Atlanta. No, I want to hang out with y'all. Because I'm very interested in shit like that. I just need some other friends in my circle that don't think I'm crazy. So, yeah, I'm down to do some rituals. And, you know, put some spells on people and do some shit like that. I mean, we just ain't going to go too crazy. Once, I just want to find out if it's real or not. Once I see if it's real, then I'm going to decide if I really want to keep this pushing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just curious. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm a cultist curious. So, yeah, I want to pull a spell on a nigga. I already know who I got. Motherfucking Cyrax. Put a motherfucking spell on that motherfucker, man. And we're going to get that nigga by. All right, man. You play video games?
No.
God damn it, man.
None. I play poker.
It makes sense.
Insane amounts.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Oh yeah, well, I only said that to say, man, yesterday I was on Steam. You know, I gave y'all niggas my Steam account and shit. Hit me up, X Danny, X Brown X. I know any. But I said that to say, man, you know, I don't really got no games to review this week. But the homie, he sent me a gift in the form of Fallout 76. And I thought that was really nice. Even though I already owned Fallout 76, I was like, hold up. I got a way to scam. So, if you want to send me some games to review.
What is Steam? What is that?
Steam is just a PC gaming service. If you want to send me if you want me to review a game, any game you want, you know what I'm saying? I would definitely come over here and review the game. Just gift it to me, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what I would say. I would love. Right now, it's a new game I'll call. I think it's I can't even think. It's a new cult game. Everyone's in a cult, some shit like that.
But whatever, I'm not about the beggars can't be choosers. And I'm about to tell y'all the games that I want. But yeah, man, Christmas is coming up, man. You know what I'm saying? See your boy some games on Steam, man. And that's all I would say, man. But yeah, man. Oh, I'm also say, yeah, man, we talked a lot about drugs in this episode. And I seen some new shit, a drug called hemophilia. And the thing about this drug is they done put 3.5 million, I might even be cheaper, it might be 3.5 million into this drug. That's why I say I want to be down with Big Pharma. They putting all this money into this drug, but it's such a rare disease. Only like 40,000 people get it a year. It's like not even nothing that even can handle. But what they figuring out is that, you know, rare disease drugs, expensive. And that's how you get the bag. You get what I'm saying? So I wanted to say, if there's anybody out at Big Pharma that want a tester, like an in-house lab rep.
Send us your video games, your hemophilia drugs.
Yeah, video games,
whatever
you got.
Hemophilia
drugs. And you know what I'm saying? We could work it out, man. We'll figure out the paperwork later, man. You know what I'm saying?
Can you imagine if you show up here one day and they actually sent everything you asked for? It'd be the craziest fucking room
That's
full of shit.
That's the thing about this shit. It happens. But yeah, so X Danny, X Brown, X on Steam. Holla at your boy. We about to get up out this motherfucker, man. Thanks, Rob, for coming through this motherfucker, man. Having a great conversation, man. No, one thing I would say, man, I know it's hard, like, on being, because me, I've struggled with fucking sobriety in my entire life. You get what I'm saying? So whenever I see a motherfucker that beat it, I always look up to him and be like, man, I want to be like that guy one day, man. So thanks for coming through chat, man.
Thank you. Well, you're having a lot more fun than I am, I can tell you that.
I know, man, but...
I miss it, man. I miss having fun, but...
I'm too old to be having fun. It's over. Love y'all motherfuckers. Daddy Brown Show.
Thanks for having me.